perfection. Following Jesus' experience in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, he was tempted by the devil three times in succession. Each time, the devil promised him specific things in exchange for Jesus adopting a character which was the opposite of God-likeness. In other words, a devilish character. Jesus responded not by arguing with the devil, but stating facts out of the Bible that negated the incorrect interpretation of Bible quotes that was given by the devil. Of course, we learn in Christian Science that there is no such thing as a devil, but it is only a suggestion that is attempting to get our attention, whereby we give the suggestion a home in our consciousness, which then, of course, totally reverses any godlike consciousness that we may be trying to cultivate. Just as Jesus stated the facts properly interpreted from Bible verses, Mary Baker Eddy did not argue with the suggestion made by the press, but did face the situation head on by stating the facts. In Miscellaneous Writings 133, beginning line 22, Mary Baker Eddy states, "Three times a day I retire to seek the divine blessing on the sick and sorrowing, with my face toward the Jerusalem of love and truth, in silent prayer to the Father, which seeth in secret, and with childlike confidence that he will reward openly. In the midst of depressing care and labor, I turn constantly to divine love for guidance and find rest. It affords me great joy to be able to attest to the truth of Jesus' words, 'Love maketh all burdens light. It giveth a peace that passeth understanding, and with signs following. As to the peace, it is unutterable. As to signs, behold the sick who are healed, the sorrowful who are made hopeful, and the sinful and ignorant who have become wise unto salvation.'" In the very beginning of the textbook, which is Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the first textual content are three quotes. The first one, quoting John, chapter 8, 32. "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The second one, from Shakespeare. "There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." And the third, from Mary Baker Eddy, "Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere." Everything stated so far on the topic of perfection includes these items. Mary Baker Eddy gives us the lead. We should silently pray three times a day for humanity, for healing the ills that are universal beliefs. Job tells us that we should be seeking a better understanding of God by searching consciousness, and the size of God is infinite, so omnipresent. So we don't have to look somewhere else, because God is right where everyone is all the time. John reminds us that we must know the truth and that it will make us free. Obviously, he means free from the limitation of the false belief that life, truth, and intelligence is in matter, and realizing that all is infinite mind, as Mary Baker Eddy states in the Scientific Statement of Being. Shakespeare reminds us that our thoughts are what mold our experience, when he says there's nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Mary Baker Eddy states in the glossary, chapter 17 of the textbook, under the definition of good, that good is God, spirit, omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, omniaction. Omniscience, Mary Baker Eddy reminds us, is all-knowing. And in the same chapter 17, just above the definition of good, is the definition of God, where Mary Baker Eddy states that God is the great I Am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. So if God is all-knowing, do we have to be doing any thinking? We need to be knowing that there is nothing good or bad, except we must be doing the knowing that it is all perfect. Because Job reminds us God is perfection. Mary Baker Eddy reminds us that God is omnipresent. And Mary Baker Eddy reminds us that, oh, thou hast heard my prayer. So God hears our prayer. In other words, our prayer is the alignment of our own consciousness with the truth about God, about the omnipresence of perfection. Our task is defined very simply as being to align our thoughts with the Christ consciousness, which is knowing that God is omnipresent perfection. Those are the three key words: omnipresence of perfection. If we made that statement and applied it to any ill whatsoever, doesn't matter whether it's sin, sickness, death, accident, discord of any kind whatsoever, if we merely made the statement that there is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in whatever the ill is, it could be an accident, a pain in my arm, a discord in a relationship, the appearance that there's no place to live, that there's no money to buy food, or one is in ragged clothes and they need to have better clothing. It doesn't matter what the ailment appears to be. If we merely stated that there is no life, truth, or intelligence in whatever the ill is, because God is omnipresent perfection, right here, right now, and I am in the arms of love, where everything is already whole and complete. That would be very effective to align one's thought with truth. As stated many times in other treatments, Mr. Rawson healed a man that was covered up with a cart full of rocks due to being behind the cart, and the animal that was pulling the cart was alarmed at something and raised up quickly and dumped the entire cart full of rocks on the man. He was totally immersed. Mr. Rawson had such a clear conviction about the omnipresence of perfection and that God is perfection that he made one very short statement. There is nothing but God. And with that, the man came up through the rocks like a rocket, totally unharmed, not a scratch. The whole event as if it never happened, except for someone probably had to pick up the rocks, load the rocks back on there. Although I'm sure that that could have been demonstrated also if the right understanding could move the man, the right understanding could move the rocks. Mary Baker Eddy also demonstrated this same kind of a concept in that she apparently had a need to be on the West Coast. And again, there were no airplanes, no mode of transportation that was instantaneous or almost instantaneous, such as a rocket. And she transported herself from Concord, New Hampshire, to the West Coast, stayed there for a couple of weeks, and returned to her home at Pleasant View in Concord. Understanding the omnipresence of perfection will dissolve any discord. Now, how can we gain that understanding? Work, 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 watch, and pray. Chapter 1 of Science and Health tells us what prayer is, and it is not pleading to God for God to do something which is already done. She states that God knows our need before we ask Him. If God is omnipresent, He's right where we are. Divine principle is balance and harmony, not discord and chaos. So we don't need to ask God, and God doesn't need to do anything. We need to get our thought in alignment with what God is. She states throughout the textbook that God is mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And in chapter 14, which is recapitulation, which is a summary of the first 13 chapters of the textbook, she states that God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite. And then follows with the seven synonymous terms that I just stated. Incorporeal means that God is not a body. So who are we praying to? There's no one to pray to. God is a quality. God is all qualities of perfection. What we need to do is dig into our own thoughts and see what are we manifesting, what are we entertaining as a thought that is not harmonious, that is not in balance with God, what is not in alignment with perfection? Mary Baker Eddy, as stated, prayed three times a day, which means searched her own consciousness to make sure that she was focusing on perfection, and not for herself, but for all humanity. In other words, for all that were experiencing some kind of an ungodlike experience. And that, of course, would include herself. But she wasn't praying specifically for herself. Do unto others as we would have them do unto us. Would we appreciate if someone else was thinking godly thoughts that included everyone, which would include ourselves? If they saw us involved in an accident, wouldn't it be better for them to declare to clean up their own thought of what they just thought they saw as being real, to declare that it could not be real, that they could not be seeing a discord, they could not be seeing an accident? Or if they saw someone in a wheelchair, how about if they declared all capability, all facility, all functionality is in and of God, which is omnipresent? Do you think that kind of a declaration would hurt a person that is in a wheelchair that came to that person's thought because they happened to see it when they were walking on the street, or saw it in some kind of a movie or whatever? Anything that tries to get our attention that is ungodlike should get our attention to nullify it, to void it, to declare that that's not true about anyone. And I can't let that remain in thought because it's untrue. It's unreal. Anything that plants a thought that is not godlike should be treated. Obviously, we don't try to treat the movie to change the movie. We don't try to treat any ill. What we do is we treat our own thought. We need to buy the bleach in a large container and just keep sanitizing that consciousness until it is so sparkly white, clean. As a matter of fact, not even white, but transparent. So that if there is anything that comes to thought that is not perfect, it becomes so obvious to us that we can with confidence state, with the same understanding that Mr. Rossin did about the rocks that were on the man, we've got to get every single rock out of our thought that is out of place. I don't mean rock as a solid foundation or as a cornerstone. I believe it's quite clear that I mean a rock that is out of place, one that is trying to cover up an idea of God, one that is trying to injure an idea of God, a rock that is trying to blemish the flawlessness of spirit. Just like the Indians thought about this beautiful lake that had a calm water with a beautiful landscape around us, and they called it the smile of the Great Spirit. We want to be smiling about a clean consciousness. We want to have such a burning desire to have a clean consciousness that we will do absolutely anything that is required to clean up something that needs to be cleaned up. It doesn't matter how big the ego is that we have to dissolve. It can be done. One on God's side is a majority. Why is that true? Because God is omnipresent. So we become a part of the omnipresent, all-inclusive, all-encompassing, infinite God when we align our thought with God. So we are with not only the majority, but the only thing that exists. We can't get in alignment with a bigger majority than that because there's nothing else that is real. If we are wise enough to follow Mary Baker Eddy's lead and align consciousness in a very specific way for all humanity, multiple times a day, it is obvious that we will be able to experience the joy that Mary Baker Eddy experienced, which was witnessed by those who lived with her in her home at Pleasant View and Chestnut Hill, who stated that when she made herself visible after having devoted consecrated time and effort to that kind of a prayer or consciousness alignment, they said that she had the most beautiful smile. She had such a sense of peace that they knew what she had been doing, because that's the effect. That's a real symptom of the cause, which is the alignment with the flawless spirit. If one refers to the book by Helen Wright that is titled Your Divinity Revealed, there is a chapter for each one of the seven synonymous terms. If one continuously studied that book so that they would be able to know frontwards and backwards what it was saying about all of the seven synonymous terms, it would change one's life. It would improve wherever you are in your level of experience to a better level. And it would be continuous. It's not just a one step and it's over. It would be continuous. Because every time you would study it, you would see something new. Helen Wright has made copies of every page of Science and Health 7 times. And each of the 7 times, she underlined a specific one of the synonymous terms. So one set, and the images have been made, and they're available from the website, mbeinstitute.com. And one set is strictly mind, another set is spirit, and so forth, through the 7 synonymous terms. So if you want to know what Mary Baker Eddy says about each of the 7, that is a treasure chest of the pearl of great price. So if you looked in those pages, studied them intently, along with the book by Helen Wright on that particular synonymous term, you would be glowing because your understanding would be improving at an accelerated rate, and you would experience it. You would feel it. you would see your life change dramatically for the better. Another thing that one should do in order to get a better understanding of the omnipresence of perfection is to study the 39 topics that Mary Baker Eddy required her household to read and study on a daily basis. That was their starter in the morning. And that, again, is available on the website. And by the way, our home page at the present, which is a brand new idea that evolved to us here at Mary Baker Eddy Institute, the home page is an index of the primary topics of the website with a one click to get there. And of course, everything also is covered in the menu, which is on every page, top left corner. And also on every page in the top, which is called the header, which is the same on every page, is the quote by Mary Baker Eddy, which is one of the most important things that you could learn and understand and use it as a catalyst for consecrated study. It says, divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system. Divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. Now that's a quote from Science and Health, page 146, beginning on line 31. What does that mean? It means exactly what it says. If you want to advance in Christian Science, you better understand that there is a system to do it. If you want to heal in Christian Science, you better understand there's a system in order to accomplish the healing. It means that if you have any discord whatsoever in your experience, you better understand that there's a system and a way to cure it. There's probably not one in 5 million people that have ever heard of Science and Health that have any clue about what this is saying. But we here at the Mary Baker Eddy Institute teach it. We teach it in our treatments. We tell you what it means. We tell you how to go about being able to demonstrate using the system that what Christian Science is all about, teaches and recommends. Almost everyone in Christian Science has been told, don't use any system. That's just a belief that mortal mind can control you. Mary Baker Eddy says she has developed a system and it is in the textbook. And this is all through spiritual inspiration. As she says, she is a scribe under orders. She is not an author. She's a scribe under orders. In fact, she says, only follow her so long as she follows the Christ. She doesn't mean a person. She's talking about the omnipresence of perfection. She's talking about following the mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love qualities any way we can, every way we can. And a serious study of Helen Wright's book entitled Your Divinity Revealed will do wonders. One more thing I will mention, and that is that the words incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite that were mentioned represent four key points that are called the City of God, or the City Four Square. And that is, one side, number one is the Word, number two is the Christ, number three is Christianity, and number four is science. The Word means the facts about God. The Christ means the translation or interpretation of anything that we are faced with to make sure that we are utilizing the facts about God correctly. And three, Christianity is what you might imagine, and that is proving it, demonstrating it in our experience by utilizing, number one, the facts about God, number two, properly translating whatever comes our way to a spiritual reality. If we break a leg, we need to follow Mr. Rawson's advice and look up in his 1,315 list of ailments in his monumental masterpiece that is entitled Treatment or Healing by True Prayer, and see, well, what does that mean? What does a broken arm mean, or a broken leg, or anything? I mean, every ailment you can think of is listed in that encyclopedia of how to cure it. And of course, everything is based on Mary Baker Eddy's works. Remember, he's the one that instantaneously, by stating there is nothing but God, healed the man that had a load of rocks dumped on him. He's the one that has been stated in other treatments that was in a shooting contest. It was rifles. He'd never shot that model of rifle before. He didn't practice with it, obviously, because he had never shot it. And he looked away from the target, closed his eyes, and got his thought in total alignment with the perfection of God, the omnipresence of perfection. And when he felt he was totally clear in thought on that fact, he pulled the trigger. Remember, his head was away from the target, looking away from the target with his eyes closed. He won the contest. Bullseye. The purpose of this treatment is not to give extensive details about Mr. Rawson's monumental spiritual developments that he shared with the world in his writings, but only to give you enough information so that you will go to the website and check out what is being referred to. As anyone who has ever read the Bible, especially the Old Testament, they will know about Daniel's experience in the lion's den. Same thing. What do you think Daniel was thinking about when he was in the lion's den? Do you think he was thinking about the lions were going to tear him apart? How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they put him into the furnace that was so hot that the men that put him in there all burned to death? What do you think Jesus was thinking about when he needed to get out to where the ship was, where his disciples were, and he was on the shore when he walked on the water? Do you think he thought about the fear of drowning? What do you think Shakespeare was thinking about when he made that wonderful, comprehensive, short statement about there's nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so? He obviously was convinced. There are examples staring us right in the face that proves that everything in this treatment is true. Will we open our eyes to it? Will we know that the 10 digits of 0 through 9 or the notes of A through G with the black keys of the sharps and the flats, that none of that is worth anything unless we utilize the operators? In math, they're called add, subtract, multiply, and divide. In music, they have their series of operators. It's even more complex than math. Math is very simple. Music has many more variables. Divine metaphysics is very simple. I've explained it here in enough terms that you know that it's very simple. We have to recognize God, that's the word. We have to translate whatever we are faced with to align it with what does it say about God? Perfection. We have to prove it by having enough understanding about the seven synonymous terms. And when we do it, then we are in the level of science, which means that we're there. We're in heaven. We realize the presence of heaven right where we are. We're smiling. We've got so much to be joyful about that we cannot possibly frown when we're walking down the street or when we're talking to someone, when anyone is seeing us, including ourselves. If we're a man and we're shaving, maybe in the mirror or whatever, boy, we ought to be having the biggest smile in the world. And a woman, whatever she's doing when she's looking in the mirror, preparing for the day, combing her hair or whatever. We should be exuding with the joy that cannot be stopped. And it has to come from within, which means we understand why we're happy. We understand why we're joyful. I mean, what better reason could there be than to know that perfection is right here and right now, and it's true for everyone that exists? There is nothing but God. Amen.